Good morning, St. Luke's. Welcome to Lent Week 5 and also our third digital service. A couple of announcements. First, I'm super excited to say that we have music played by our own Dean Mora in the service this morning. So that's piano and organ straight from the church at 515 2nd Street that was very carefully recorded under appropriate social distancing regulations so that can be part of the service this morning. So thank you so much to Dean and also to Sean who went down and helped him with the recording so that we could have that with us this morning. I know it makes feel a lot more like home to me. I wanted to draw your attention to a couple of updates to the website at stlukeswoodland.org. We've added two new sections. If you hit the main homepage there, you'll see a section for Holy Week at Home resources. This is going to explain how we're going to do Easter moving forward with our new digital world right now. We will be posting digital services like this one for both Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, but we also have some interesting and fun materials for you guys to be setting up sacred spaces and altars in your home. We would love to see what you guys put together. If you want to send us some pictures, we'll post those to the website. And there's also some home meditations that you can do for Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter Vigil. So check those out. And there's a lot of other resources in there for celebrating Holy Week at home with kids and how to do Stations of the Cross on your own and a whole lot of the things that we really look forward to for Holy Week. So please check out those resources. There's also another new section of the website called COVID-19 Resources, and this has a variety of different kinds of bits of information for you. Some of them are county and health information and resources. Some of them are resources for parents whose kids are going stir crazy and climbing up the walls. And there's also some information there from neighboring churches and other churches in the diocese who are doing other kinds of services on different days than we are that you might be interested in checking out. So all that information is going to be there for you, and we're going to keep adding to that and keep that going while we find ourselves in this shelter in place area. And then the last announcement I wanted to have is just to say that if you have found yourself coming to St. Luke's this morning through the wilds of the internet and you've never actually visited us at our building on 2nd Street, I just wanted to say welcome. Thank you for being here. We're glad to have you, and you're a welcome part of our family. All right, let's start the service.
Send out your light and your truth, that they may lead me and bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Psalm 43, verse 3.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on us, forgive us all our sins, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us all in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen.
Almighty God, you alone can bring order to the unruly wills and affections of sinners. Grant your people grace to love what you command and desire what you promise, that among the swift and varied changes of the world, our hearts may surely there be fixed where true joys are to be found. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, look graciously on the people of St. Luke's Church. Be with us in this season of transition. Walk with us and guide us that we may be genuine in our self-reflection, tireless in our commitment, patient in our discernment, loving in our communion, open in our search, and daring in our faith. We thank you for the gifts, talents, and skills with which you have blessed us. We thank you for the experiences that have brought us to this moment. Help us accept change as a gift of your direction for our journey in this transition. Instill in us a vision for our parish, that guided by your Holy Spirit, we will be united in love and joyfully accomplish this mission. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
A reading from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, verses 1 through 4. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones, and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinew on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there, sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, see these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will bring you back to the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Psalm 130. Out of the depths I have called to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears consider well the voice of my supplication. If you, Lord, were to note what is done amiss, O Lord, who can stand? For there is forgiveness with you. Therefore you shall be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits for him. In his word is my hope. My soul waits for the Lord, more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. O Israel, wait for the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy. With him there is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from their sins. Thanks be to God.
A reading from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 6 through 11. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raises Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies, also through his Spirit that dwells in you. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from the Gospel of John. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then, after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble, because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble, because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary, and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." When she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench, because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to him, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. Here ends the reading.
So I think the thing that I love the most about this particular gospel reading is that we see different ways that different people are coping with something hard, specifically here, the death of Lazarus. So at the beginning of the story, Mary and Martha send a message to Jesus to let him know that Lazarus is ill. And this is something that we all do when someone is very ill or close to death. We all make sure to tell the people who would want to know. People appreciate the chance to come and visit, and the person who is sick usually appreciates these visits as well. Then, when Jesus finally arrives, both Martha and Mary let him know their disappointment that he has arrived too late. They both say, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died." It's pretty blunt of them, actually, but what I love about it is that it is honest. Both of them are grieving for their brother. And when we're grieving, we are not always rational. We look for someone to blame. "If you had been here, my brother would not have died. If the doctor had done the test, they would have detected the cancer in time. If the driver hadn't been drunk, they wouldn't have crashed into my loved one's car. If we had a better understanding of the coronavirus earlier,
we could save more lives. We want to find someone who is at fault. In the gospel story, Jesus doesn't respond to the blaming. Instead, he feels his own feelings and he expresses them. He sees how upset Mary and the others are, and he asks them to take him to the tomb, and he weeps. We're all grieving right now. Whether or not we already know someone who has been infected by the coronavirus or who has become ill from it, we are all grieving so much. We grieve the loss of our usual routines. We grieve the loss of events and gatherings that we were looking forward to that have been canceled, like birthday parties, graduations, celebrations. We grieve simply being together with people outside of our own households. And today, especially, we grieve being physically together in worship. Of course, we could use blame as part of our coping, but we know that it won't actually help. It might make us feel a tiny bit better for a short time, but really, we know that blame is shallow and it won't solve anything. Even if we could pin this situation on someone, that wouldn't change what we're experiencing. We could also try to do what Jesus does in this story. Feel our feelings and express them. Remember, Jesus knows perfectly well what is about to happen in this story. He knows that he is going to call Lazarus out of the tomb and that Lazarus will come, restored to life. He basically told this to his disciples at the beginning of the story. But even though he knows, he still grieves. The gospel tells us that he is greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. And he weeps. It is okay for us to feel our feelings right now. It's okay to express them too, as Jesus did, not lashing out at the people around him, but weeping. Maybe weeping isn't your style. Maybe you would rather write or paint or talk to a good friend on the phone. Whatever it is for you, make space for it in your life now. So that's actually enough, but there is something more. This is the last Sunday during Lent, right? Quite possibly it's the Lentiest Lent that any of us have ever Lented before. And our readings are reminding us that there is more to come as the story unfolds. So at the end of today's gospel reading, Jesus commands Lazarus to come out of the tomb, even though Martha tells him that Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. And Lazarus comes out, wrapped in cloth, and Jesus instructs those gathered there to unbind him and let him go. Lazarus is brought back to life by Jesus. In our first reading, God tells Ezekiel to prophesy to the dry bones, and he does, and they reform into bodies. And then God tells Ezekiel to prophesy to the breath, and he does, and the breath comes into the bodies, and they live. God explains to Ezekiel that the bones are the people of Israel who lament that they are dried up and have no hope. God will raise them from their graves and bring them back to their homeland. God brings life where there has been death. That is the power of Easter. That is the power of the resurrection. That is the power of God. Now, our liturgical celebration of Easter is coming just 2 weeks from today. And that celebration will not be the kind of celebration that we're used to. That's okay. Remember, The Easter that we celebrate in 2 weeks is the celebration of the first Easter so long ago. God's work that was accomplished in the resurrection of Jesus was completed at that time. Death was defeated, and God brought life. Wherever and whenever there is death, God brings life. Right now, even if no one we know has died of the coronavirus, we are experiencing death, and so we grieve. And right now, even as we grieve, even as we anticipate what may be weeks more of physical separation and even illness and death, we know that God brings life. Even if we don't see it, even if we can't feel it, even when our feelings overwhelm us and we weep as Jesus wept, that hope remains. God brings life out of death. Be like Jesus. Feel your feelings. Express your feelings. And know, always remember, that God will bring resurrection. Amen.
Let us say together the Nicene Creed.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We will use Form 4 in the Book of Common Prayer on page 388. Let us pray for the Church and for the world. Grant, Almighty God, that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Guide the people of this land and of all the nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give us all a reverence for the earth as your own creation, that we may use its resources rightly in the service of others and to your honor and glory. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless all whose lives are closely linked with ours, and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as he loves us. We especially remember those in our church family and in our own families who are self-isolating. Lord, in your mercy,
Hear our prayer.
Hear our prayer.
Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. We remember especially Gary, Randy, Sarah. Who is on your heart this morning? Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Hear our prayer.
We commend to your mercy all who have died, that your will for them may be fulfilled. And we pray that we may share with all your saints in your eternal kingdom.
Hear our prayer.
Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Almighty and eternal God, ruler of all things in heaven and earth, mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Prayer for mission. Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of your faithful people is governed and sanctified, receive our supplications and prayers which we offer before you for all members of your holy church, that in their vocation and ministry they may truly and devoutly serve you, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Glory to God, whose power is working in us, can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to him from generation to generation in the church, and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen.